The question was asked, what is the source for the mitzvah of making aliyah, coming to live in the Holy Land? So, let's begin our journey with Nachmanides. But before we do that, let's take a step back to Maimonides, the Rambam. The Rambam did something which many commentaries did. He wrote himself an outline. So before the Rambam, before Maimonides, began writing his work on all of Torah, what he called Mishneh Torah, he wrote a work which was supposed to be an adjunct. You learn Tanakh, you learn my work, and if you're not a learned person, you'll be covered. At least you'll know how to behave. If you know Tanakh well, it might work well. The Rambam writes, that's why it's Mishneh Torah. Learn this after you learn Torah and you're covered. It's like our Kitzur Shulchan Aruch today, only a little bit more in depth, right? So before the Rambam wrote this work, which was supposed to be an all-encompassing work that'll cover all the halacha of day-to-day, building a temple, land of Israel, everything you can think of, all the halachos, before he wrote this work, he first wrote an outline of all the mitzvahs of the Torah, what's called the Sefer HaMitzvot. He wanted to make sure he wouldn't forget any mitzvah, he wouldn't forget to address anything in his work. And it's interesting because many great writers, many great rabbis of Jewish history did this. The Rosh did this before he wrote his commentary, the Rosh. He wrote an outline of all the Tosfos of the Shas. Then he wrote the Rosh. If you look in the back of your Gemaras, you have the Piskei HaTosfos, the bottom line of Tosfos. Who wrote that? The Rosh. Then the Rosh's son wrote a halachic work called the Tur. Before he wrote that, he wrote the Kitzur Piskei HaRosh. He wrote an outline of his father's work. He wrote an outline of his father's work on all of Shas, and then he started writing his own work. So to the Rambam, before he's going to write his work, he writes a Sefer HaMitzvos, a work that summarizes all 613 mitzvot. And the Rambam was unique. He went against his predecessors on many points, including in his rules of how you enumerate 613. And he writes, in the beginning of the work, he writes rules that he's going to use to define how you count what constitutes a biblical mitzvah, what does not, what constitutes a mitzvah that gets counted separately. We know there are 39 prohibited activities on Shabbos. Does that mean Shabbos counts as 39 mitzvot? How do you count that? So the Rambam writes his formula, which is a bunch of rules in the beginning of the work. And then he enumerates all 613 mitzvot according to his rules. Next generation or two generations down, we reach Nachmanides, who was also a doctor, just like Maimonides. Nachmanides wrote a work on Maimonides. On Maimonides' Sefer HaMitzvot, Nachmanides wrote his own comments. And in those comments, he obviously is going to argue with Maimonides. And even though he writes, Maimonides' work is phenomenal. And in almost every place, I agree with him. But in many places, Nachmanides points out there is another way of understanding this. Because, as we said, Maimonides went against his predecessors. Maimonides went against many opinions that preceded him. So what Nachmanides did in his work was defend those earlier opinions. Very often he says, I really side with Maimonides, but I just want to show that the other opinion also has legitimacy. So that's what Nachmanides did. And then, in the very end of the work, Nachmanides actually wrote which mitzvos he holds Maimonides left out. He says there are mitzvos that Maimonides should have included in his count, and I'm going to enumerate them. And the fourth mitzvah that Nachmanides lists is the following. Mitzvah revi'i, fourth mitzvah that Nachmanides is of the opinion that Maimonides left out, is shenitztavinu lirash ha'aretz, that we are commanded to inherit, to take control of the land of Israel, asher natana el yitbarach v'itana la'avoteinu, that Hashem, blessed be He, exalted be He, gave to our forefathers, l'avraham l'yitzhak u'l'yaakov, to Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. So number one, we have a responsibility to take control of the land. Number two, v'lo nazvena b'yad zulatenu min ha'umot, and we won't leave the land of Israel in the hands of any nation other than Israel. Olishmama, nor will we leave the land desolate. So Nachmanides has already said, we have a mitzvah to take control, we have a mitzvah to have sovereignty, we have a mitzvah to develop, not just to conquer and leave it uninhabited. desolate. Vehu amro lahim, so you asked, what is the source? So Nachmanides quotes a verse. The verse says, Vehorashtem et haaretz, you will conquer the land vishavtem ba, and you will settle it. So Nachmanides learns those are two components of one mitzvah. We have a component of conquering it, and now notice, Nachmanides is listing a mitzvah that's relevant today. When we read that verse, we would say that's a verse for Moshe Rabbeinu, for the Jewish people entering the land of Israel. Who said that's a verse that's relevant to us? Nachmanides says it is. It is a mitzvah that's incumbent upon us. Ki lachem natati et haaretz lareshet otah. Hashem says, I've given you the land to inherit it, to conquer it. Ve'itnachaltem et haaretz, and you will settle that land. So that's a verse in the end of the book of Bamidbar. The book of, what's Bamidbar in English? What do they call it? Chronicles? No.
Numbers.
Okay. Ve'nichpal kaza inyan b'mitzvah zo b'mkomot acherim. And this concept is reiterated in other places in Torah. Kilmo, the verse says, Bo'u urshu et haaretz, come and conquer the land, asher nishbati l'avotechem, that I promised your forefathers. Notice he's not quoting what some suggested are the stories of Abraham. He's quoting what's nogea us. Upiretot alem b'mitzvah zo kula b'gvuleha u'mitzareha. And the verse actually enumerates the boundaries of the land of Israel that we have a mitzvah to conquer. I'm skipping the verse. And Nachmanides says, the idea is, shelo yanichu mimena makom. The boundaries are enumerated because we have a responsibility to conquer all of it, not to leave any of it out. V'araya shezo mitzvah, and I'll prove it to you that this is a mitzvah. It's not just a gift that Hashem is saying you can have the land. It's a mitzvah to conquer it, as the verse says with regards to the spies. Alei reish, go up and conquer it. Kasher diber Hashem lokech alach al tirah v'al techat, as Hashem told you, don't be scared. V'amarod, we have another verse that says, uv'shach Hashem tchem mikadesh b'nei lemor alu shuta aretz. Okay, so he's quoting more verses that indicate that we have a mitzvah, and he says, I'm saying this so you shouldn't think it's just a promise. That Hashem's saying, I will give you the land. No, it's a responsibility we were given to conquer the land of Israel. And this is why our sages speak about a war that involves conquering the land of Israel as a milchemet mitzvah. A war that is a mitzvah. And as the Talmud says in Tractate Sota, that the war of Joshua to conquer the land, everyone agrees, was incumbent upon everyone to participate. Now notice that he's taking this as a constant mitzvah. We could have understood this was a mitzvah for Joshua, who said it's a mitzvah for us. Right? He's arguing on Maimonides. Maimonides did not list this as a mitzvah. And the final two lines of Nachmanides, V'al tishtabesh v'tomar kanzot azot ha-mitzvah b'melchama shiva memin sh'nitzavu la'avdam. Don't make a mistake and think that this was a mitzvah only when there were the seven nations in the land of Israel. That then we had a mitzvah to conquer the land. As the verse says, Hachamim tachimim en advarken. That's not so. So Nachmanides wants to preclude what I've said. She'anu nitzavim la'rog ha'omotahem Behilachmam, where does it continue here? Imanu. It says, it's not so, because you know they could have made peace with us. So there's no mitzvah specifically to obliterate those nations. But the mitzvah, he says, is that we shouldn't leave the land of Israel in the hands of the seven nations, nor any other nations, in any generation. So Nachmanides is of the opinion that in every generation we have a mitzvah to take control of the land of Israel. Even if the nations would run away, there's no mitzvah to fight them, so then they leave. We have a mitzvah to have it under our dominion. So that's Nachmanides. Okay, that's step one. But again, we have Maimonides who did not list this as a mitzvah. I'm just checking if there's another point here we should mention. Okay, concluding, says Nachmanides, V'omer ani, and I say, Ki ha-mitzvah sh'chachamim mafligim ba, that the mitzvah that our sages speak so highly about, v'idirat Eretz Yisrael, and that is the mitzvah of living in the land of Israel, to the point where our sages say that if anyone leaves Israel and goes and lives in Chutz La'aretz, you should look at him askantly, like he's choosing to go the pagan way. As King David said, by chasing me out of the land of Israel, it's like I was told to go become a pagan. And you have so many places where our sages went on and on about the greatness of living here. So the Nachmanides, this all says, this all stems from this mitzvah. So that's why Nachmanides says, if our sages said that in the times of the Talmud, after Joshua, after the first temple, after the destruction of the second temple, you understand that this is a mitzvah that's incumbent on every individual till today, even in the time of the exile, just like the days of the Talmud. And then he quotes a story about the rabbis who were leaving Israel, and they started weeping, and they tore their clothing, and they said, how could it be we're leaving? We have a mitzvah to conquer the land of Israel, and living in the land of Israel is like doing all the mitzvahs in the Torah. It's such a tremendous mitzvah. And that's with that, Nachmanides concludes. So you have a very strong opinion of Nachmanides. We don't know Maimonides' opinion, right? Because Maimonides just didn't enumerate this as a mitzvah here. So at first glance, we don't know what Maimonides held on this, right? That's step one. But maybe we do know. Because even though Maimonides didn't enumerate this as a mitzvah here, in the laws of marriage, Maimonides states that it's an understood stipulation in every marriage that, if possible, we will live in Israel. And if the husband or wife says, hey, now it's possible, I want to go, and the other one, the other spouse says, I don't want to go, so then the understanding is that the one who does not want to go to Israel is going against a basic understanding that was a part of the marriage contract between them, even though it doesn't say it in the marriage contract. But it's built in, it's understood that that's what everyone wants. Aren't you a Jew? Don't you want to live in Israel? How could it be you didn't want that? And if one side, it doesn't matter if the husband or the wife says, I don't want to go to Israel, so then we say that the other side is considered as though they were wronged to the point where they're entitled to demand a divorce and they will be paid the damages because it's like you're going against the basic understanding of marriage. So that's, and that is also ruled in the Shulchan Aruch in Eben Ezer. The Shulchan Aruch rules that if one wants to go live in Israel, so then the other one can't say no between a husband and wife. And if the other one does say no, it's considered like they went against the basic understanding of marriage. They're the one who broke the contract and they lose their rights. They forfeit their rights within the marriage, within the rules of marriage. And here the commentaries quote a big discussion about whether this is relevant today. It's not so clear that it's relevant today, at least in the days of the Shulchan Aruch. There's a big discussion here. So obviously in Machon Meir and the Zionistic yeshivas, they go with the opinion that it's relevant, and that's the opinion of many great rabbis. It happens to be a big discussion. The sources, again, we started with Nachmanides. We said that even Maimonides does not seem to disagree. The Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin in Eben Ezer. He doesn't say it's not relevant today. He seems to say it's relevant today. He just says, each side can demand we will live in the land of Israel. That's what the Rif says, that's what the Mordechai says. The Shulchan Aruch in two other places, in a few other places, the Shulchan Aruch rules that it's a mitzvah to live in Israel today. He says it in a few places. So we have it in the laws of Shabbos, when the Shulchan Aruch was looking for an example of a caravan traveling to do a mitzvah. Are you allowed to join that caravan if they might end up driving on Shabbos? So he says, what's an example of a caravan traveling to do a mitzvah? A caravan moving to Israel. That's his example. And we have other places where you see that that seems to be the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. So you have very big heavyweights that seem to go with the opinion that it is a mitzvah, even today. And the source, which you asked for, we saw the source that Nachmanides quotes, and that seems to be the strong opinion for living in the land of Israel is Nachmanides. And again, some suggest that Maimonides didn't agree with it, yet I say if you look in other sources, not in the Sefer HaMitzvos, you see that Maimonides also held that we should be living in Israel today. So that's why there must be a different reason why Maimonides did not enumerate it as a mitzvah. And there are different suggestions by the commentaries why Maimonides didn't enumerate it as a mitzvah. Possibly because it's all encompassing, or other reasons. But either way, it's not clear at all that Maimonides would disagree with this idea, that there's a mitzvah to live in Israel. So those are the strong opinions we have in support of it, and that's the sources. Are there other opinions? Yeah, we discussed previous week's other opinions. But in a broad sense, we see that the powerhouses of Jewish halacha definitely went with the opinion that there's a mitzvah to live here. What we're not going into is it a transgression to live in Chutz Aretz? Is everyone living in Chutz Aretz living in transgression? We did not say that. That's a different discussion. But is it a mitzvah to live here? That you see in the Shulchan Aruch and you see in the Rambam, etc. You see that it does seem to be a fulfillment of a mitzvah to live here.